consider McDonald's. Why do you think they're able to create the same hamburger and the same experience in San Diego, California, as they do in Rome, across the world in Italy? This is Business Strategy, where I help the ambitious to build more profitable, iconic companies using the principles I've learned while growing and turning around million and billion dollar companies through Cultivar.com. I hope you share and enjoy. I like to approach strategy from a holistic standpoint because I believe that taking a too narrow approach to driving value can create myopic thinking and prevent me from seeing the bigger picture. Over the years, I've learned a lot of lessons and have applied the principles I've learned along the way to create value in companies. In order to create a systematic approach to strategy, I put together a framework that lays out the phases of strategy. And that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. To approach things holistically, there are four phases that I tap into when turning around and building companies: diagnose, design, execute, and empower. I'll walk you through each of these in more detail now. Starting with the first phase, diagnose. This involves leveraging data analytics to pinpoint where the problems and opportunities related to operational and financial performance lie within the company. Specifically, there are two steps that I take in this phase: getting benchmarked and measuring performance and health. First, benchmarking involves gathering historical data pertaining to operational and financial performance and comparing specific metrics and data points to others in a company's competitive set. Notice the specific term that I used, competitive set. Although it's a good starting point to benchmark yourself to the general performance of competitors, if the benchmark is not granular enough, it may not be super helpful. In other words, if you benchmark your company that does $1 million a year in profit to a behemoth that does $100 million a year, the scale differences between you and this competitor may throw off that benchmark. Additionally, companies outside your competitive set may have different operating models, ideal customer profiles, and strategies that they're pursuing. Therefore, the information you're comparing yourself to may not always be really helpful. You may be wondering how to get information and benchmarks from your competitive set. It may not be easy because much of this information is private and it's not readily available. However, there are some databases or experts who may work in your space that have access to proprietary data that can be useful. One unique advantage that I have when working with companies or helping the businesses I invest in is access to benchmarks as a result of working with a lot of companies across multiple industries. Now, you may not be in this position. So the bottom line here is just get started with some type of benchmarking. Getting narrow in your benchmarking and comparing yourself to your competitive set is even better, like I mentioned, but if you can't get there, just start with something. Because for me, I would rather have some benchmarks than none. Often, I'll start with what I have and then build from there. During this process of benchmarking, I can uncover where the company is performing well and where it's underperforming. This helps me to narrow my focus on the value drivers that have the biggest upside. It also helps guide my strategy because I'll know the parts of the business that aren't functioning well. It gives me a roadmap, and that's what's really nice about benchmarking. Next, I use a tool I developed as part of Cultivar's software called Mativ to measure a company's performance and health. This tool is called the Performance Health Score, or the PHS. It's a Performance Health Score assessment. This assessment goes deeper than benchmarking, and it explores various areas of the business, including a company's six Ps: purpose, plan, people, product, processes, and profits. Similar to benchmarking, this helps me quickly identify the challenges of the business and what needs the most focus. Now, if you're not a client of mine, that's okay. And if you want to measure the performance health of a company, you can do so through a survey or through just sheer observation. Although it may take longer and it may not be as comprehensive, at least it's better than nothing. So regardless of your approach, you gather data and information you need and compare it to other benchmarks and targets to understand your competitive positioning and performance on a macro and micro level. These are the two components of the diagnose phase: benchmarking and measuring performance and health, which are the starting points along your strategic journey. Next, Let's move on to the second phase of strategy, which involves design. I love design. This is my favorite phase. In this phase, it's important to understand the strategy, model, and principles for integrating strategy and finance to maximize firm value. Here's the great news for you. Since I want more people to get exposure to the resources they need to be successful, if you go to cultivar.com, you can access a free course called Building a $1 Million Strategy Blueprint. You can find the link to our website in the show notes of this podcast. The reason why I offer this free course without any gimmicks or high pressure sales, it's completely free, is that I want to help as many people as possible reach at least $1 million in annual profit and then grow beyond that in a sustainable manner to build an iconic company that lasts. That's my motivation. And to be transparent, sure, I would love the opportunity to work together as well. But first, let me get you to $1 million in annual profit and beyond. So once again, you can access this free course by going to the website, and this will teach you everything you need to know to get started with strategy and introduce you to a blueprint for your company. The next step in the strategy design phase is to create the right structure for your organization. This may involve creating or consolidating divisions or business units, or perhaps carving out existing businesses and putting them into new business entities. In addition to corporate structuring, it's important to create the right people structure that will allow you to successfully execute your strategy. I believe that structure is everything. In fact, I believe structure wins in the end. In other words, you can put a good employee in a bad structure, and the structure will always win. Consider McDonald's. Why do you think they're able to create the same hamburger and the same experience in San Diego, California, as they do in Rome, across the world in Italy? It's because they have a solid structure. So for me, it's very helpful to get the structure right in conjunction with building the strategy blueprint. Building a strategy blueprint helps you to identify not only why your company exists and its foundational principles, but more importantly, it answers where it will compete, how it will compete, and ultimately how it will win. There are several steps within the strategy blueprint. I'm not going to explain all of them here. It'd take forever. But if you want to learn more, as I said, go to the website and check out the free course that I prepared for you called the $1 Million Strategy Blueprint. Moving on to the next phase of strategy, we have execution. This is where I leverage our framework called IARs, which stands for Initiatives, Actions, and Results, to convert the strategy blueprint that I designed into tangible results. Remember, there's a difference between strategy and strategic planning. Strategy is a set of interconnected choices that we make related to where and how to compete and how to win, whereas the plan outlines how that strategy will be brought to life. So when I refer to initiatives, actions, and results, or IARs, this is the mechanism or repeatable process that I follow with the companies I work with to drive execution and improve operational and financial performance. Another important part of this phase of strategy is to define roles. This is where most teams fall apart and high performance suffers. With this step, if I can be super clear with my teams regarding who's doing what their responsibilities are, and how they'll be held accountable, it makes all the difference in the world when it comes to execution. Lastly, in addition to defining roles, strategy execution requires a process for measuring progress. This is done in what I call the FSR, which stands for the Financial Strategy Review Meeting that is held monthly. During this meeting, executives come together to review the financial performance of the company over the last period and evaluate the strategic initiatives and how they are progressing. The point of this meeting is to understand what's working and what's not working, and then make adjustments along the way. All right. Finally, the last phase of the strategy process. Remember, we started with diagnose, we talked about design, and then we got into execution. Now we're talking about empower. This is a critical part of the overall strategy process because it involves exploring the company's resources and figuring out what capabilities, assets, and advantages need to be developed in order to drive continuous improvement and innovation. Additionally, with empowerment comes an increase in individuals' acumen as it pertains to business, including their strategic and financial IQ. So I'm a big believer in employee development and empowerment, and this is a critical part of the overall model. Lastly, being a part of an overall community has been extremely helpful for me and the clients that I work with. There is power in associating with other like-minded professionals who are following the same systematic approach to drive better results and building a profitable and iconic company. All right, I hope that was helpful as I walked through these four phases of strategy and how I apply them to the companies I work with and the businesses I run. That's it for this episode. Like I said, be sure to check out the free course that's available for you and begin applying these principles into your business. And I promise you, you'll see extraordinary results. All right, until next episode, take care of yourself. Cheers. Hey, real quick, I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have business questions and you want to be featured on this podcast, send me an email at contact@cultivar.com and either type out your question or send a video or voice recording stating your name, your location, and what's on your mind. If you want to increase your financial intelligence, be sure to check out my other podcast called Boosting Your Financial IQ. All right, you have new knowledge. Go out there and execute. And until next time, cheers.